name of Jesus.
Amen. How many of you, by the way, this is a little timeout. I'm already digressing. I haven't started. Is that going to be that kind of a day? How many of you have sung that in church before? Okay, good. I think it's fairly rare to hear it lots of times. And it makes me crazy because it's just... Yes, sir.
Okay. I was going to say, I know a friend of mine from music school who wrote a set of variations for organ on that melody.
It's beautiful. I love when the hymns, especially, you know, it's like you just heard. I could almost not preach and you get the whole gist of it. But of course, you're not that fortunate because I am going to preach. But I love that hymn. Anyways, imagine that you are one of these two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus that very first Sunday. This is the very first Easter Sunday. This is Easter Sunday afternoon. It's late in the afternoon, kind of like, I don't know, 3 o'clock in Albuquerque. You're on foot, walking from Jerusalem to Bosque Farms, Emmaus. It's about a 7-mile journey. I tried to find a town that was 7 miles away, and the closest I could get was 17. Anyways. You're talking among one another, passing the time, maybe even practicing your social distancing. It's been quite a day. You've been awakened early in the morning before sunrise. Now the women, they were just talking crazy talk. They'd gone to the tomb of Jesus to complete his burial, and they came back with some astonishing news. They said the tomb was open. The grave was empty. There was some almost incoherent talk of angels saying that he was alive. Peter and John, they rushed down to the tomb, saw the grave cloths all folded up neatly, the head covering folded separately. Mary Magdalene, she was downright hysterical, claiming that she'd seen Jesus. She has really lost it. She even called that he even came and called her by name. Talk about crucifixion, post-traumatic stress. And then, nothing more. You waited for the other disciples for more news for a day and a half, whatever it was, the last of the day, excuse me. But nothing. Got a little hungry, had a light meal. Just a bit of lunch. Finally, bored out of your mind, realizing nothing you could do about it, you decide to go home. You and your friend. And you set out down the old town road, walked until you can't no more. Thought that would be funny. Apparently not. Does anybody even know that popular song? Okay. Wow. Every once in a while, I didn't sing it very well, actually. All right. I got up my game, apparently. So you're heading out down the road to Emmaus. And then this stranger joins you, a visitor to Jerusalem. And he gets even within 6 feet of you. Can you believe the audacity of that? And he invites himself to walk with you. Hey, guys, can I come along? He seems safe and decent enough, though he's a bit clueless about everything that happened the last week. It'd be like being in New York City and not knowing on September 11th, 2001 or 2012 what happened the day before. What a fool. Apparently, he doesn't even follow Twitter. He asks what you're talking about. And you fill him in on all the details. You tell him about Jesus from Nazareth, how he was a great prophet in word and deed, how he preached the kingdom of God, and he even healed people. and how the religious leaders of the day had condemned him to death and crucified him at the hand of the Romans. You stop for a moment, you walk in silence. We said too much? They could be looking for us. What if he's a spy? Do we go on? You tell the stranger what you've heard? It's crazy. So you hesitate. Finally, you summon up the courage. Lower your voice a bit. We had hoped this was the one. You know, the Messiah, the one who was going to redeem Israel. He looked like he was the real deal, announced the third day since he was executed. And some women from our group amazed us with the news that they'd seen angels that said he was alive. Some of us went to the tomb and found it just as they said, but they couldn't find him. Stranger listens quietly. You're surprised that he doesn't laugh at what you just said. But then he smiles, slightly shakes his head, and says, "You dorks, you foolish ones." He didn't say dorks, I embellished a little bit. "Oh, foolish ones, so slow of heart to believe what the prophets have spoken. Don't you realize that it was necessary that this should happen? It's all over the scriptures, how this Christ should suffer these things and enter his glory." You wonder more about this, though. What does this guy mean that the prophets have spoken it? You know the prophets. You know the Torah and the Psalms. You had to memorize them as a child in the synagogue. You knew what the prophets said about the Messiah. What is this guy talking about? And then the stranger begins at the very beginning. He goes right back to Genesis, and he goes through the whole scripture. And this should remind you, if you recall, of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch being catechized about how all things in the scriptures testified to him. Moses and all the prophets shows them that this was the Christ. The Christ must suffer these things and enter his glory. He talked about the promise of salvation given to Adam, that the seed of the woman would come and crush the serpent's head. He talked about the Passover lamb and all the other sacrifices. He talked about the ram caught in the thicket that stood in for Abraham's son Isaac, the tabernacle, the temple, the priesthood. He ran through the prophets, passages like Isaiah 53. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities." But as he spoke, your head was almost spinning as this guy wove all this together. Images that you knew so well into a seamless tapestry. And it's like one of those prolonged aha moments when it all makes sense. I know I have a weak snap. Anybody got a really good one? Okay, let's not get carried away. It all came together. Now your heart is racing for excitement. It is all clear. Like Saul realizing everything that was being said to him and the scales falling from your eyes. Your heart is racing with excitement. You see it. You get it. It's Jesus. He's gone. Not quite, though, but close. Time seems to stand still. Because all of a sudden, you're at a fork on the road. And the stranger, who seems to know the scriptures as though he himself had written them or something, is going the other way. Away from Emmaus. The sun is setting. The day is almost over. But you want to hear more. You've got to hear more. So you urge him, "Hey, buddy, stay with us. It's almost evening. You don't want to go down that road alone. You're welcome at our house. Come in, stay with us. Be refreshed." Stranger obliges, joins you at the table. I don't know if you noticed this, but strangely, he sits at the head of the table. not the usual place for a guest. And when it comes time for the meal, he takes the bread as though he were the head of the household, lifts his eyes to heaven, gives thanks, breaks it, and hands it to you. And all of a sudden, in a flash, your eyes are opened to the stranger with the broken bread in his hands. And then in an instant, he's gone. It's Jesus. He's alive. He's here with you, giving this broken bread that he's just blessed. And you're about to say something, anything, but just as quickly he disappears and vanishes from your sight. Yet somehow, in a weird sort of way, it doesn't even bother you. Doesn't disturb you at all. It makes sense in a completely profound way, because you realize it was Jesus on the road teaching us all of the scriptures. It was Jesus at the table breaking the bread, and your heart can't possibly contain the joy and excitement, and you have to tell others. So what do? You take off and run down, I won't sing it, the Old Town Road back to Jerusalem. You run that 7-mile road to tell the other disciples what you had just seen and heard. You had to tell someone. You can't keep it for yourself. And the disciples confirm what you had seen. The Lord has indeed risen and has appeared to Simon. By the Lord's own assessment, the two disciples on the road were foolish and slow of heart. Foolish as in unbelieving. Slow of heart as in hearts that were hardened to the word. They knew what Jesus had said all along, but they didn't believe it. Yet, it's true for all the disciples. Jesus told them repeatedly when he was going to die and rise. But they were still surprised to find an empty tomb that Sunday morning. Dear friends, it's us too. We can often hear the good news of the resurrection and then go on as though nothing of significance has even happened. We can hear that sin and death lie vanquished and defeated, and still go through our weeks with long faces and guilt. You know, Luther gets quoted enough by pastors and sermons, I think sometimes you have to give his wife a little due. You with me, ladies? Katie Luther famously once chided Luther when he was a bit down. Said to him, "Take a look at you. You look like you'd never know that Jesus had risen from the dead," she said to her husband. Now, I know I don't need to tell you, ladies, especially those of you who are married, to remember that for your husbands because you have good memories, but that's a good one. So good, I'll repeat it again. Take a look at you. You look like you're living as if Jesus hasn't even risen from the dead. I had one of those weeks myself. Maybe you had one too. I kind of call it as if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead kind of a week, where you get all caught up in the treadmill of life and frustrations, failures, the stupidity of things, being stuck in your home. It's amazing how the Synod itself has ramped up bureaucracy since we can't even meet together in the International Center. I thought it was going to get easier. Oh, foolish and slow to learn here. And every day, doesn't it kind of seem like a Monday? Every single day, they kind of just blend together. And it's easy to forget that Christ is risen. And this calls for repentance on all of our parts, a repentance that turns slow hearts into burning ones, like those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Now, if you forget everything I said, and please especially forget my attempt to sing paraphrase of Old Town Road that nobody recognized or knew. Remember this. Take note that what caused these two's hearts to burn with faith. I'm going slow for emphasis. Was not the sight of Jesus risen from the dead. They saw him plain as day, actually. They walked along the road with him. He was right there. So they're no different than we are. They couldn't see Jesus even when he was walking and talking with them. Their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. This was the Lord's doing, of course, not their nearsightedness. Jesus was kind of, if you will, weaning them off his visible presence, which was going to be the new norm. Teaching them to look where for him, where he would now be found, which wouldn't be right with him within 6 feet, but through his word and in his sacraments. That would be the new normal. And it's better that it happened that way. You know, if we devise the kingdom of God, we would do it completely differently. When you want Jesus right here, you know, and kind of like Pastor Zill, Pastor Heffelfinger, but can we just have Jesus instead? What does Jesus do? Say, I'm going to not be with you and give you Pastor Heffelfinger and Pastor Zill. And in reality, what I'm really giving you is my word and my sacraments, by which, if you think about it, and this is the beauty of Pentecost, the disciples want Jesus to stay with them, just like they did at this meal. And what does he say with them before he leaves? It's actually better for you guys if I leave. Why? Because now he can be everywhere. Now he's no longer limited to being with you here at St. Andrew in Southwest Albuquerque and up the road at Grace or in Colorado if there's believers there. I am going to get you, son. I'm going to get you to laugh one of these times. I thought I had you on the Old Town Road, and he didn't catch it. He's the only one that I ever got to laugh outside. But the point is that his presence can be with us, be everywhere all at once through his word, through his means of grace. He's no longer confined as he did, not that he had to, but he did to be in the confines of the flesh. And so it is better, because Easter joy continues. The scriptures testify to it. The breaking of the bread bears witness yet today. He is with us in a most profound way, much more profound than a 7-mile walk on a road. He's with us by his word and spirit and the preaching of the scriptures and the breaking of the bread that is his body. He is with us. And even though this whole everybody else except for us doing online services, he's even present there through the word of God, even though he would have to otherwise, if he remained in his flesh, be counted among the governors no more than five. See, Easter joy continues, folks. And it's continued for over 2,000 years. Not because Jesus keeps popping up all over the place so people can see him, but because his word has gotten out. Easter is ultimately not an ongoing appearance. You know, he's not on a tour with black t-shirts and putting out a book. Yes, he shows up 5, 6, 7 places. I don't remember how many off the top of my head. But that is not the point. He did enough so that the witnesses could testify, and then the words would be enough, because there is power in the Word of God. There is just as much power in the Word of God that is present in this place right now as if Jesus, your Lord, was here himself. You know why? Because he is. You want to know what separates us as Lutherans from almost everybody else? It's that kind of real presence talk. You see, every Sunday is a little Easter because the risen Lord is here. Every Sunday, in reality, that would have been a good second choice, maybe for the name of this church. It would have been a mass because you're meeting at 3 p.m. Every Sunday, you might put that in your, if you ever have kind of a, you could call your little, your canvassing there, your weekly mass. whatever, maybe not. But it's an interesting parallel to the time. Every Sunday is your Emmaus walk with Jesus, not seen, but heard in his word and recognizing him in the breaking of his bread. And there's something else, one last thing, and I'm going a little long because I've tried to be funny. I can't help it, folks. I'm stir crazy. Are you? I'm stir crazy. And you know what? I'm silly when I have normal life. This is bad. But the prayer of the two disciples is also important to mention here. Word, sacrament, and prayer. Notice that the prayer of the two disciples as their traveling companions seemed to be pressing on. They invite him to stay with them for supper. What do they say? Abide with us. Of course, there are several well-known hymns on that theme. One we won't sing today that has that word. You know it. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. You might sing that tonight at home. It's perfect after what you've heard here tonight. That'd be a good evening prayer, evening hymn tonight. And the one we will sing at the end, Lord Jesus Christ, with us abide, for round us falls the eventide. And he does. He abides with us. And he reminds us not to live as if he hasn't risen from the dead. What did the disciples do when they realized that? They headed out to the streets and they tried to find anybody to tell them. Now, it took them 7 miles probably. But I bet if there were plenty of people on the road, they might have stopped to tell them too. Remember that the next time you go out and canvass. Don't canvass like those that don't believe that Jesus has risen from the dead. This is the greatest news ever. How can you not get out and tell others? And no matter, the last thing I'll say, no matter how big a church is or no matter how small, you have the same word of God and the same real presence as anybody else. Don't let the big boys ever get you down. Because wherever two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, whether in Emmaus or at the corner of Coors and Gun Club, his word and supper is there for you now and forever. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah.